98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. State of the Suns, presented by First Bank. First Bank is proud to be the official bank of the Phoenix Suns. First Bank, banking for good. Member FDIC. State of the Suns. Burns and Gambo take you inside the Suns front office and talk with a key decision maker.
James Jones, general manager of the Phoenix Suns, scheduled to be our guest in this segment. I imagine we'll be hearing from him in a moment or two. The Suns taking on Utah tonight. That is an 8 o'clock tip time. You'll hear it here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. And joining us right now on the 72 Sold Sports Line, the general manager of the Phoenix Suns, James Jones, here on the Burns and Gambo Show. James, welcome back to the show. And on behalf of both of us, congratulations on the well-deserved contract extension. We appreciate your time for sure.
No, thank you guys for having me, man. I really appreciate it. I'm really fortunate to be in this position, and I'm just thankful I get a chance to continue.
Yeah, congratulations. A well-deserved contract extension. I know for you, you and your family, you all like it here. But let's go back. At what point in your NBA career as a player did you look at management and say, you know what, I don't want to be a coach. I'd like to be a general manager.
I mean, well, I think my first year in the NBA, I knew I didn't want to be a coach. It's like a player's life on steroids. You know, you're there a lot earlier than the players. You stay after. You get up early to prepare, and it's just a constant grind, almost a 24-hour news cycle. So I knew early I didn't want to be a coach, but the front office isn't something I thought about in this capacity ever, really. I knew I wanted to stay in the team environment. I wanted to be somewhere between an owner and a front office executive. And so I've just been blessed to be in a position where being a part of the team and helping out has kind of crafted or plotted the path for me that eventually led me to being a GM.
You know, all the players in this league that end up being coaches, they could always look back and say, I picked up this from this coach and I learned that from that coach. What's it like for a general manager? I mean, were there any executives over your NBA career that you learned something from that's helped mold you into the GM you are today, or no?
I think it's my combination of experience as a player, a rotation player, a reserve. And then in the front offices, I had the pleasure of being with some great organizations. I had Donnie Walsh when I was in Indiana, along with David Morway, Larry Bird. From there, I was in Portland with Kevin Pritchard, who was phenomenal. I'm back to Miami with Andy Ellisberg and Pat Riley. And then I had a chance to go to Cleveland with David Griffin and Kobe Altman. So I've been around some really good professionals. And even here in my time in Phoenix with Brian Colangelo and David Griffin, those guys all gave me something that I've taken with me. And I try to use their experiences to make decisions for our team now.
And that's one thing that's obvious in reading the story. TheUndefeated.com was the one that first reported you were signing the contract extension. The quotes that you gave to that website about not doing things in a vacuum. It's not just me. It's everybody. Everybody on the basketball side, everybody on the business side. I know you're the face of it and you're the front of it. But that does not mean it is just you when it comes to these decisions that are made that shape a culture the way that you've shaped the culture here, right?
Not at all. I mean, I think I'm a part of it, but I've said before, I've taken and I've made exactly zero game jump shots since I retired, and I've been a part of a bunch of wins. And so the players and the coaches, those that are executing the strategy, the day-to-day management of the routine and the game plans, they deserve all the credit. And my job is just to sit back and try to absorb all that information and assist when I can and create an environment where they all feel free to be creative and thrive. And if I can do that, I can do my part and you can have success, which I think we're all seeing right now.
Saturday night, we all got a little bit of a scare when in the same game we saw two of the main cogs of the machine in Jay Crowder and Campaign go down with wrist injuries. We know they're not going to play tonight. From your perspective, what is the timeline for a potential return for both of those guys into the Suns' rotation, James?
I think Jay's day-to-day, and, Campaign is a couple weeks. I think that's where we are. We'll reevaluate him in about 2 weeks. But, my hope is that Jay just gets a chance to heal. We have a deep team. And that affords us the opportunity to be a little conservative. If you were to ask Jay if this were the playoffs, tomorrow he'd be playing. He would come back in the game that night. But we just have to be mindful of it. And those guys, they've done a great job of managing themselves. So we'll be whole soon again. And if we can do that, you know, the All-Star break coming up, it'll give us a chance to reset and make a heavy push towards the end of the season.
DA's getting close, not going to play tonight. You've got Minnesota Friday and then San Antonio Sunday. Would you anticipate he's back for one of those games?
I think so. But it's day-to-day with the ankle. It's not like we have multiple days off right now. We're practicing and we're playing. I mean, we're playing games and we're preparing for our next opponent. So if we can get him back sometime in the next few games, I think that's realistic.
We talk so much about how the regular season, you know, just doesn't matter that much, right? It's about the playoffs. It's about being healthy for the playoffs, peaking at the right time. You guys had that incredible run to the NBA Finals last year, captured the hearts and the imaginations of everybody. Yet this year you're on pace for a franchise record 66 wins. I mean, why? How? I mean, are you surprised that this team is going out there with the mindset that they want to win every single game and not with the mindset of, oh, I just can't wait to get to the playoffs?
I mean, well, you know, we know we're not entitled to anything. You know, injuries and health play a huge factor in the postseason. But in order to get there, you have to build the habits and you have to build the resiliency. You have to build the endurance to navigate that gauntlet of the postseason. And nothing, you take nothing for granted. And that's the only way you can develop a championship standard or a championship mindset. The games may not matter for those that know they'll win, but nothing's given. So we know the only thing we have is what's in front of us, the days in front of us, the opponent in front of us. And so we want to make the most of every opportunity, because opportunities like this, you know, windows like this don't come often. And when you're there, you just have to live it 100%.
Yeah.
And go after it.
And that's what leads me into my next question for James Jones, general manager of the Phoenix Suns, who joins us here on the Burns and Gambo show. Windows like this don't come around very often for any NBA franchise. Trade deadline is on February 10th. The buyout market will kind of start to sift out after the trade deadline comes and goes. What level of aggression do you anticipate out of yourself and out of this organization, knowing that this window is what it is for you guys right now, James?
I mean, I always love that question. People always like, how aggressive will you be at the trade deadline? And how aggressive will you? And I'm always the same. I like my team. I like what we have. If opportunities come to improve my team, I'll look at them. But every team's trying to do the same thing at the trade deadline. So unless you're catching someone who absolutely does not want to compete, you're really talking about lateral moves. And, you know, I trust our continuity and our flow. And so I'm focused on our guys and how we can improve internally. But I'll always say, like, this: the team I assemble in the summer is the team that I believe in. And the longer we play together, the better we are. So I guess that's a long way of saying I like where we are.
Yeah, and we've come to know that's kind of your philosophy. In regards to that, is there any part of you? I think I know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Is there any part of you that looks at a trade deadline or looks at a buyout market and looks at a player and thinks, I've got to keep that guy away from a team that I am competing with for an NBA championship, so I'm going to make that move to make sure player X doesn't go to team Y?
No, not at all. I mean, I can't forecast what people will do. In many of these situations, the buyout deadline, you see a lot of names and not a lot of game. If a player is really good and can help you, I find it hard to think that competitive teams let them go. So you have to find the right mix of players. And in that situation, those guys determine where they go. So we try to focus, and I try to focus on the things that I can control for our team, and try to make sure when I do make those decisions that we can control, I make the best decision possible.
The final 5 minutes of basketball games is remarkable the way, and I think other teams are getting to the point where they just know it. It's coming. I don't care if you're down by 2, 4, 8. You guys are going to find a way in those final 5 minutes to pull it out. I know a lot of it is Chris and just his ability to take over games, you know, late and make all the right decisions with his high basketball IQ. But, you know, what else is it about the final 5 minutes of these basketball games that make you guys so good?
Continuity and consistency and trust and reps. You know, that's why I believe in continuity. Everyone wants to switch things up. They always want to try something new. But in those last 5 minutes, the pressure is consistent. You know, the attention to detail has to be consistent, and your expectation and standard for execution remains the same. And the only way to do that efficiently is you have to be in those positions. So, I mean, it's great for us that we have the same players in those positions, in those moments every night. And the more they do it, the better they become. And I think that's our advantage, and we'll continue to lean on that.
James, as always, thanks for the time, and truly congratulations on the contract extension. We're very happy for you, and we're very happy to have you on a semi-regular basis around here on the Burns and Gambo Show. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Matt. I truly appreciate you guys.
Thank you, James.